Hello, divers. Welcome to another installment of Mysteries of the Deep. I'm Tom Feeney, podcaster and purveyor of pop culture propaganda, proudly part of the Automaton Studios family of podcasts. This week, Mysteries of the Deep asks the question, whatever happened to the original cut of Star Wars? Star Wars. No, I'm not calling it A New Hope, for reasons that will be explained later. The film was released with little fanfare 45 years ago, on May 25th, 1977. Now, I am fortunate enough, and yes, old enough, to have seen Star Wars during its original theatrical run in 1977. I was not yet 10 years old when my grandmother took me to see it during the 4th of July weekend, presumably after much begging. It was showing at the Village Theater in Ocean City, New Jersey. And needless to say, Star Wars blew my little mind. Now, why did I have to wait over a month to see it? Well, while the film did open the last week of May, it only did so on 32 screens. You could see Star Wars only if you lived in a major city like New York, Boston, or Los Angeles. It wasn't until the movie proved to be a huge hit with audiences that 20th Century Fox began churning out prints of Star Wars. Before its release, theater owners wanted nothing to do with Star Wars. Now, they were begging to show the film. By late June of 77, the number of screens running Star Wars in North America was up to 360. 2 weeks after that, the number was over 1,000, and a legend was born. Since that day, I have watched the movie countless times. However, it was only somewhat recently that I was able to view it the way it was originally intended. So what do I mean by that? Well, this may come as a surprise to you, but the original cut of Star Wars, the one that played in those relatively few theaters in 1977, has never been officially released by Lucasfilm, 20th Century Fox, or current owner Disney. Why not? Well, the answer to that mystery is complicated, and we'll get to it. And you heard correctly that I was able to see the original version of the film recently, and we'll get to that as well after these messages.
Otto? Otto, you're on fire! Otto, you found a cigarette. Well, I don't think smoking is grown up at all. Because it's very dangerous. Smoking does dreadful things to your lungs and is very bad for your heart. Well, I know I don't have one, but humans do, and I think we should set a good example. Well done, Artu. Oh, hello. You know smoking is bad for your health, and it isn't grown up at all. So please, don't smoke. R2, do you really think I don't have a heart?
Before things get messier than a Dianoga with diarrhea, know that the 1977 release of Star Wars had differing versions from day one. The film itself was the same, but there were at least three different, sometimes very different, sound mixes shipped to theaters. There was a stereo mix, a six-channel surround mix, and a mono mix. Apparently, the mono mix was the one most people heard back then. It contains alternate sound effects and dialogue that director George Lucas added after the earlier stereo and six-channel soundtracks. It would be the first time Lucas altered his science fantasy epic after its release, but certainly not the last. The number of various and sundry edits, changes, and variations made to the original Star Wars have been thoroughly, and I do mean thoroughly, documented online, on video, in books, ad nauseum. The lamentations of diehard Star Wars fans over all the alterations run the emotional gamut from mild irritation to white-hot rage. Most of this hatred is aimed at the 1997 Star Wars Special Edition.
For an entire generation, you've only been able to see it on a TV screen.
Now, Star Wars is back on the big screen.
There'll be no one to stop us this time.
With newly enhanced visual effects, digital sound, and a few new surprises. Star Wars, the Special Edition, starts Friday at theaters everywhere. Rated PG.
In George Lucas' mind, all he was doing was going back to a film he himself felt was unfinished. It would have been one thing to just update some of the original special effects that had not aged well, but this was not the case. Lucas added scenes, characters, and made other changes that many Star Wars fans found to be completely unnecessary.
Han shot first.
And as far as Lucas and Lucasfilm were concerned, the special edition of Star Wars was the only recognized edition from that point forward. It was as if the original cut of the film suddenly became pictura non grata. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. 15 years before the special edition bulldozed its way into becoming the only authorized edition, a significant change had been made to the original Star Wars. Since its release in 1977 was such a smash hit worldwide, it stayed in many theaters for an entire year. Keep in mind, this is before home video became commonplace in people's homes, and you could just rent a movie whenever you wanted. In 1979, Lucasfilm and 20th Century Fox were gearing up for the release of The Empire Strikes Back. To build up the hype for the sequel, Star Wars was re-released into theaters. This time, a makeshift teaser trailer for Empire was added to prints of the film, featuring only concept art and no actual footage.
The Empire has been repulsed, but this one defeat will increase its determination to crush the rebellion once and for all. In the continuation of the Star Wars saga, the Empire strikes back, and Luke, Han, and Princess Leia must confront its awesome might. In the course of the Odyssey, they travel with their faithful friends, droids and Wookiees, to exotic worlds where they meet new alien creatures and evil machines. Culminating in an awesome confrontation between Luke Skywalker and the master of the dark side of the Force, Darth Vader. Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, C-3PO, R2-D2, Chewbacca, and introducing Lando Calrissian. In the continuation of the Star Wars saga, The Empire Strikes Back, coming next year.
If you've seen any of the films that comprise the 9-film Star Wars saga, and if you haven't, why are you listening to this? You know the film opens with the classic text, "A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away," followed by the Star Wars logo zooming out towards space. Then there's an opening crawl that sets the stage for the film. That crawl begins with the episode number and the film's subtitle. In the case of Star Wars itself, it's referred to as Episode 4, A New Hope. But it wasn't always that way. When The Empire Strikes Back was released on May 21st, 1980, the opening crawl began by informing audiences that they were watching Episode 5. Nothing unusual about that, except this was the first time a Star Wars movie had been identified as a separate episode of a larger story. That's right, 1977's Star Wars had never been referred to as Episode 4, A New Hope, until it was re-released into theaters again in 1981, a year after Empire.
Now, you can experience the Force again. Star Wars.
Here they come. Coming in too fast!
The original, legendary Star Wars is back. The most popular film of all time, Star Wars. Coming back to your galaxy for 2 weeks only. Star Wars, The Force Will Be With You, starting Friday, April 10th.
Since then, every print of Star Wars had the subtitle Episode 4 in front of the crawl. This proved to be the biggest alteration of the film until the aforementioned special edition. So, after 1981, Star Wars became Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Permanently. Confused yet? Just wait. The following year, 1982, saw the first official home video release of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope. Yes, that was present on the very first VHS, Betamax, Laserdisc, etc. A New Hope was on all home video copies from day one. Which means there was no way to see the original cut of Star Wars, the one from 1977, the one without A New Hope, anywhere. Now that may not seem like a big deal, but remember, this was not only a box office hit, but it literally changed the movie industry and had a profound impact on pop culture that is stronger today than it's ever been. To not have access to the original unaltered version of Star Wars is, at the very least, a shame, and at most, a terrible example of revisionist filmmaking that denies people a chance to see a cultural touchstone in its pristine state. After years of begging and pleading from Star Wars fans across the globe, Lucasfilm decided to acquiesce and release the original unaltered Star Wars, as well as Empire and Return of the Jedi, on DVD back in 2006. Except they didn't. Not really. In a fairly lazy attempt to appease fans clamoring for a release of the original 1977 cut of Star Wars, Lucasfilm simply reused a version that had been released in 1993 on the now-defunct Laserdisc format and took out the A New Hope subtitle. The quality of both the sound and picture were poor due to a lack of any remastering or improvement of any kind. It seemed like a sheer cash grab and an insult to fans who wanted to watch the original film in the best possible quality. And fans are still waiting. The website originaltrilogy.com, which is the best source of information on the original Star Wars, has a petition on change.org with over 15,000 signatures. That petition urges Disney, now the owners of Lucasfilm, to remaster and re-release the unaltered Star Wars. So far, that request has fallen on deaf Mickey ears. So, what can an obsessed fan try to do? Well, as Master Yoda would say,
try not. Do. Or do not. There is no try.
A few dedicated Star Wars fans took those wise words to heart and took matters into their own hands. Up until the last decade or so, the tools necessary to edit, alter, and restore films were the purview of those in the film industry itself. However, advances in technology have made it possible for home enthusiasts to get into the game. High-resolution scanners, non-linear video editing, and powerful audio software now allow almost anyone with the will, skill, and the hard drive space to get into film editing. These days, you can find what are called fan edits all over the internet. people will re-edit their favorite movies and share their new cuts with others. The vast majority of these fan edits don't amount to much, and are typically just fans flexing and showing off any perceived editing skills they have. Star Wars movies, all of them, have been a major focus of the fan edit community, mostly when it comes to Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. On the website fanedit.org, there are no less than 34 different cuts of Phantom Menace to be found. Most taking out all footage of Jar Jar Binks. Ha-woo! One of the most famous of these fan edits is famous because, well, the person behind it is famous. Actor Topher Grace from TV's That 70s Show and Spider-Man 3 created his own fan edit, taking all three Star Wars prequels and editing them into one 85-minute movie for his own enjoyment. It was called Episode 3.5, The Editor Strikes Back. It was shown only to select friends of Topher's and was said to be something of an improvement, even if it was just an experiment. When it comes to the original Star Wars film, if you want something done right, the fans have to do it themselves. And that's just what they did. Several fan-based projects have been undertaken to restore the original version of Star Wars to its pre-New Hope glory. It would prove to be a massive undertaking, with no guarantee that it would even be possible given the sheer scope of such a project. We're going to look at two of these efforts, the despecialized edition and 4K77. First, we take a trip to Central Europe, the Czech Republic to be exact. The year is 2010. There, an English teacher with no film editing experience took it upon himself to attempt to recreate Star Wars in its original 1977 form. The man who refers to himself as Harmy on the internet taught himself how to use sophisticated editing software like Adobe After Effects. Harmy went through Star Wars frame by frame, removing all traces of the special editions until he arrived at the finished product, which he called the despecialized edition. He recruited help from the Star Wars fan community, who lent their assistance to the project. The first version was completed in 2011. Since then, Harmy has kept on crafting better and even more accurate versions, the most recent in 2021. The second effort, and perhaps the most interesting, is called 4K77, a reference to being a 4K high-definition version of the 1977 film. The group behind 4K77 were somehow able to obtain an original 35mm Technicolor theatrical print of Star Wars from 1977. But that was only the beginning. The print was in rough shape and needed lots of TLC. They proceeded to scan each frame of the film in 4K definition, correct the colors that had faded over time, and render the project in 4K resolution. This version, however, is warts and all, meaning none of the special effects have been updated, and all the original graininess of the film stock used at the time is still intact. In other words, the film hasn't been altered in any other way except to preserve the original look and feel of Star Wars as it was shown in 1977.
I am your father.
Now, both the 4K77 and the despecialized edition are labors of love, no doubt. These dedicated individuals went above and beyond to recreate something that had been lost. Something that meant a great deal to a lot of people. Something that we were told was not possible by a seemingly uncaring corporation. and something that was made available to Star Wars fans for free. I watched the despecialized edition several years ago, and it was like seeing Star Wars for the first time, with its flaws and imperfections intact, before George Lucas began tinkering with it like some old Chevy Camaro that always needs work. If you've made it this far into the podcast, you're probably wondering how you can get access to these original versions. That's a tricky prospect because, technically, these are not authorized versions. They are not endorsed in any way by Lucasfilm or Disney. The legality of these versions is questionable at best. Curiously, there has never been any attempt by the powers that be to curtail or shut down these fan edit projects. If you're interested in seeing these editions, the best place to start is looking online at originaltrilogy.com. There are resources and discussion forums that can help you track down the restored original Star Wars. For legal purposes, it's best if you already own a physical copy of Star Wars, but even that is a gray area. Good hunting, and may the Force be with you. Thanks for listening. If this is the first time you've heard this podcast, check out our past episodes and subscribe so you don't miss a single one. And we want to hear from you. Drop us a line at thedeepdivepodcast@gmail.com or on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter feeds. You can find links to those on our Linktree site, The Deep Dive Podcast by Automaton. And don't forget to check out our official website, thedeepdivepodcast.com. All clips used in this podcast are meant for educational purposes only and not to infringe on existing copyrights. Mysteries of the Deep is a production of Automaton Studios.